Are you ready for an amazing podcast on depression featuring the top 10 remedies that will give you all natural relief based on what is working for me today? After years where I struggled with depression, where I consistently was so frustrated, I could barely stand it anymore. And today, what I'll do is give you the top 10 ways that I prevent depression from happening. And then if it does come up, it goes away very quickly. I'm very grateful for this today, to do this with you on my podcast and on my YouTube channel, where I try and help you the best I can every day. Are you ready? Let's get into these top 10 relief methods now that are all natural that I think you will love and enjoy. Number one is a whole plant-based diet. That means eating foods that are primarily made out of minimally, if not no, processed plants. You might wonder, well, why does this make a big difference for depression? I'll share a little story with you here that will enlighten you about how this makes a massive difference on depression. I was at the airport in 2016 when I figured this out firsthand with my family. I was having a lovely day. I was enjoying time going to the airport, getting ready to travel back home. And guess what happened? My depression came on hard. I am also an alcoholic, and often for me, if I'm depressed, a thought of a drink will start to look good, which is a big motivator to not get depressed. And I started thinking about a drink, and then I started not even wanting to live anymore. And this was crazy because just a few minutes before that, I was feeling great. And I did not understand how I could possibly get turned upside down so much, to go from feeling great to all of a sudden not wanting to live in a space for a few minutes. And then I realized what happened. The food I had eaten caused that. I had this massive meal at PF Chang's with the 5+ different kinds of meat in it, all kinds of oils and salts, which it's okay to have a little oil or a little salt. You might even be able to eat a little meat. I don't. And it's okay to have a little bit of these things in moderation. But when you better dump a bunch of these things in your body all at once, your body cries out and says, oh my God, you just poisoned me and you must be trying to kill me. No. And that sends up all these negative thoughts to your brain. It's trying to tell you, stop, don't do that anymore. But we interpret this as something's wrong with us and we need to go get help. No, just eat better. Eat better, and that'll prevent a ton of depression coming up. And then you won't get turned all kinds of crazy ways and be all upset as often. The whole plant diet helps me a ton to stay at a high energy level and prevent depression from even coming up. Thus, number one suggestion is change your diet, and you can eliminate a ton of depression. And you don't even need to be sold on this yet. Just watch how you feel next time that you are feeling great and you eat a big meal full of a bunch of things that take your body down. Watch how you feel afterwards and watch your depression come on. That's how I got sold. I'm like, oh my God. Thus, now that you've heard this, you're ready to experience the results of it. The next huge suggestion I have is a support group. And I've got lots more blog posts on this linked on my website for you. If you look at jerrybanfield.com, for example, I've got a post called How to Get Rid of Suicidal Thoughts with Diet and Hypnotherapy. And I also have a post talking about why I go to Alcoholics Anonymous every day to stay sober, because a support group helps me to remember what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. On days that I lose track or I lose focus, it helps recenter me. And if you are getting a lot of depression like I was getting, you may be tempted towards substance abuse, towards things that make depression worse. For example, drinking makes things much, much worse. And the more I drank, the more I got depressed. And now what I've got a support group in Alcoholics Anonymous that helps me stay centered every day. Instead of getting my life turned upside down, I go to Alcoholics Anonymous every single day. And this helps me remember what I'm doing, keep up with my good habits. What I noticed is a lot of people like me who were struggling with depression, we figure out things that make it better, and then what happens? We stop doing them and we get all kinds of messed up all over the place and we wonder what happened, we wonder what went wrong, when really we stopped doing the things that were helping us. And a support group is really helpful to keep you on top of your game, to keep you doing the things that help you stay centered, to keep you in the right place. And therefore, a support group is essential. Now, if you're not an alcoholic, you may have other addictions. There's tons of support groups out there. Once you realize the value of a support group, you can start looking for it and find one. Next is walking outside. There's a lot of health benefits to just getting outside. There's a lot of health benefits to walking. You can do a walking meditation. You can listen to audiobooks like I do. You can walk your dog or walk your child and listen to audiobooks at the same time like I do. And this is a big help because it gets you out of the house, it gets you out into nature, and just being in nature is very healing. Often the air quality that we're breathing inside is keeping us stuffed up and messing us all up inside, and just getting some fresh air will help us recenter our minds, recenter our bodies, and then the depression will lift from there. When you hear people talk about the worst of their depression, what do? They say that I was laying in bed all day. I was just laying in bed all day. Now, look at the behavior and look at the results. Lay in bed all day, feel depressed. If you want to feel better, get your butt out of bed and take a walk outside. I don't care if it's raining. It couldn't be any worse in your mind than a little bit of rain. Get outside and take a walk. Get outside and take a walk. And if you can, make a habit of it every day. I take a walk every single day, even if I'm doing personal training, even if I've got a lot going on. What I do is I try and take a walk first thing in the morning, because often when I wake up, my mind is the most blah, 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 blah. And I really need to get that walk in the morning to get recentered. Therefore, take a walk outside. And especially, these are cumulative. When you change your diet or focus down your diet on a whole plant-based, and you have a support group, and you take a walk, all of these start to make a big difference. Just doing one might not cure your depression by itself. But when you do all 10 of these, I'm certain that you will be very happy with the results you get. Number four, you need an accountability partner. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we call this a sponsor. In my business, we've got a continuing education program for entrepreneurs, and we've got a mastermind where we have mentors and accountability partners and a support group for our business. If you have a partner, such as a husband or a wife or a girlfriend, boyfriend, fiance, these can be good accountability partners, especially if you're having some of the same struggles. The point is to get someone that you are accountable to about what you are doing on your depression. My wife will let me know if I'm slipping in any area of my life. If I'm slipping on things like Alcoholics Anonymous, she said she'll give me a swift kick in the butt so that I make sure to stay on track. And this is how I originally got to Alcoholics Anonymous, is she did give me a swift kick in the butt and said, look, I can't keep living like this anymore with you drinking at home. And that's when I said, okay, I better go to Alcoholics Anonymous or I'm going to lose my marriage, because I didn't know what else to do. And I didn't have a support group. I didn't have any other accountability partners. If you're specifically wanting to work on a certain thing like depression, it helps to have an accountability partner who directly works with you on that. For example, with my alcoholism, I have two sponsors in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they keep me accountable across many different areas in my life. My wife is also an accountability partner, and then I have lots of other accountability partners. Make sure the key with your accountability partner is that you are absolutely honest with your accountability partner. No lying, no deception, no putting your best self forward. You get brutally honest with your accountability partner. That's the point of sponsors in Alcoholics Anonymous. These are people you can get brutally honest with, that you can share the very worst parts of yourself with, that you can really not hold anything back, that you can talk to about all the worst parts of your life. And at the core of your depression may be something like that that needs to be healed. An accountability partner can help. How do you pick an accountability partner? You look around for someone who demonstrates the qualities that lead you to trust them. Often this may take a while. Before I picked a sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, I went to meetings for 3+ months and I listened to what people had to say. And the people who shared with the most courage and the most vulnerability, that's how I realized this person will make a good accountability partner for me. That this person is someone I can trust to share the worst of myself with. This person I can tell all of my life to. And that's how I pick my accountability partners at Alcoholics Anonymous and in other areas of my life. Number 5, and this is directly linked with the accountability partners, but I recommend doing this in addition to your accountability partners, is hypnotherapy. I've got a post on my website about hypnotherapy talking about how helpful it is. Hypnotherapy involves being hypnotized. Now, there's a lot of confusion and thinking of magic tricks. Let me make it in a way you can understand. Hypnotherapy is basically an active meditation. That's how you can think of it. The hypnotherapist guides you into meditation. And this can be really helpful if you struggle to do any meditation yourself, if you're struggling to slow down. Hypnotherapy with a good hypnotherapist also combines elements of regular therapy. The difference being that the regular therapist often has a lot of boundaries with you. For example, they may not be able to hug you or tell you I love you, whereas the hypnotherapist is not bound by these stricter rules and allows them to be more of an equal, more of a regular person with you. And I find this helpful. I'm not interested in going to some psychotherapist who has all these books and rules and diagnoses. I want someone who really knows how to heal a person, really knows how to help a person, and really knows how to guide me into my own inner wisdom. That's the beauty of working with a hypnotherapist, is that they can really guide you into your own inner wisdom with active meditation. And once you learn with the hypnotherapist how to do some active meditation, this is a big help for depression. Then you're not stuck in your bed all day miserable. Even if you're physically incapacitated, you can practice a good meditation and get yourself out of depression. And often, if you are mentally in a great place, your physical body will come along. In fact, from what I've seen, physical ailments are very often a result of mental processes that have been done so many times, the physical body essentially succumbs. And the physical body then manifests these things that have been going on in the mind. And if you change your mind, lots of times the physical body will change with you, and you can actually get over your health problems through your mind. And hypnotherapy is a great place to learn how to get your meditation, get your mind right. And hypnotherapy, like regular psychotherapy, can help dive into damaging childhood issues. Even you can go into past life issues that can allow you to transcend normal daily awareness. And for me, that really helps on getting out of depression. I am immortal. I am God. I am love. I am a soul that's bonded with a body. And sometimes simply identifying yourself with not just this body and this life and this bag of rocks, you think of the things you've done and these reasons to feel bad and hate yourself. When you get through these things, hypnotherapy can be a big help to turning your depression upside down into happiness and love and daily joy and peace. Thus, I go to hypnotherapy every week. I find it really helpful. And guess how I got to hypnotherapy? My accountability partners consistently suggested I get a counselor. And for me, hypnotherapy is the ideal format. I looked around and I said, I'm not going to some psychotherapist who's going to say all these things are wrong with me and then I can't change them and all that. I want someone who assumes that I'm perfect and I'm wonderful and then will clear out any of the reasons I disagree with that. That's the top five things, and we'll go back over these again so you really have them. Hypnotherapy, an accountability partner, walking outside, support group, and a whole plant-based diet. These five things alone, I am certain, will make a big difference in your depression. When you combine them with the next five things, you are ready to transcend the worst depression. I don't care how bad you think your depression is. If you do all the rest of these five things, I imagine you will be feeling as good as I feel every single day. Are you ready? Let's get into some of these get even better. This one, regular sex. I found very few people who are consistently having regular sex who struggle with depression. Often, depression to me seems to be a buildup of frustrated sex desires. And what I notice is a lot of the people that are depressed are not having satisfying regular sex with another person. Now, I'm not talking about sex by yourself, which I know all about. And today, I practice a refusal to engage in any sex by myself. That's a nice way of saying masturbation, isn't it? I like sex by myself. That sounds better. I refuse to engage in any kind of sexual activity by myself because this brings out the need to have strong relationships with others. It brings out such a strong need that even though I'm married and I completely limit my sex to my wife, I make very strong relationships to others just in case anything happens to my wife. The sex desire is so strong that it wants very deep intimate connections with as many people as possible just in case that main sex desire, that main sex partner has something happen to them. And this is great because this encourages loving, positive, happy relationships. And I don't know one person who struggles with depression that has regular sex and a life full of loving, supporting, positive relationships that they're actually maintaining. When I look back to my depression, I was not having regular sex. I was not taking good care of my relationships. And I was consistently hurting myself with my own sexual behaviors. Now let me qualify that. I have experienced some depression while having regular sex and also engaging in sexual behaviors that I felt were shameful, which to me was just doing it by myself, even though I was married and had a wife doing it with me almost every day at the time. Thus, clearing out any undesirable sex behavior is also essential to clearing out depression. Because lots of times our weird sexual behaviors, weird in our minds, not really that weird compared to what everybody else is doing, but for example, watching adult movies by ourselves, leaving us feeling ashamed, these things can sabotage even our regular sex. And therefore, if you're already having regular sex and struggling with depression, then clearing out any of these undesirable sexual behaviors, especially through hypnotherapy and an accountability partner and a support group, will be really helpful for you in my experience. Let's define regular sex before we finish this up. To me, regular sex is at least every other day or third day. That is the point at which the body, at least in a man, starts to experience physical discomfort, and in a woman, starts to miss the benefits of regular sex. I read somewhere, don't remember the book, but that women who have sex every 2 or 3 days are consistently less stressed out, less depressed, feel better, and then have a higher desire for sex. What happens to a lot of us is we get out of the habit of regular sex, and then we don't even want to go there for the pain of losing it. We have sex and then it's not good because we haven't been doing it for a while, or we get way too overexcited about it. We get afraid of not having it again and we go through that painful withdrawal cycle. Therefore, it's important to make a partner, or depending on where you are in your lifestyle, a group of partners that you can have regular sex with to ensure that not only your sex needs are met, but that you're helping someone else out. And let me dispel one illusion. You don't need to be in a perfect mood to have sex or have a perfect relationship to have sex. The key thing is to feel good about yourself and excited to be with and connect with and help someone else. When you sometimes you might hear people say, well, my partner's sex desires are just a chore. I wish they didn't have them. No, they're not. They're a desire. They're an opportunity to help out. My wife and I've had this exact discussion. She's like, sometimes I feel like your sex desires are a chore. I'm like, well, that's the nature of a male body. And the good part about it is that need gives you the chance to help me. And the more you help me out, then I feel compelled. I really want to help you out. And I want to think about you and take care of you and help you. I've noticed when couples are not having regular sex, they both feel like doing anything for the other person is a chore. Oh, he wants me to take the trash out, or she wants me to stop playing so many video games. I find when I'm having regular sex, I have a very strong motivation to keep having regular sex that motivates me to think about exactly what my partner might want all the time. Now think about that. You spend a few minutes, let's say you are in the mindset where you're depressed and your other person's sex desires are a chore. Now think about this for a minute. You spend a few minutes addressing those sexual needs and they spend hours thinking about how they can help you with everything else you need in your life. Isn't that worth it? Sometimes you just need to make a rational bargain with yourself. Like, okay, I'm going to do my best to help my partner have sex. You don't even need to worry about liking it. Ideally, you do want to like it and it should be completely fulfilling to both of you. But the best you might be able to do to start off is might be pretty poor if I was watching their judging. It's worth it. Just start off, do your best, work through it, talk about it, and you can get to a place where it's really enjoyable for everyone. And that's the idea that gets you into regular sex and out of depression. Because if you really want out of depression, you need to be willing to go to any lengths to get out of there. Being depressed sucks. And I've go really far to not be depressed on a daily basis today. And that takes us into the next suggestion. Number 7 is massage. Especially if you're struggling with intimacy issues, if you're struggling with being able to open up to someone and having an accountability partner, if you struggle to relax and feel good about yourself, a great massage therapist can help you a lot. I get a massage every week, and getting massage is one of the miraculous transformations I've went through. When I started getting massages, I was 3 months sober. My head was absolutely upside down. I went between raving, angry lunatic to horribly depressed and I don't want to do anything anymore and maybe if I just drink, I'll feel better. And the beauty of massage is that it helped me relax. It helped me connect and start loving my body. I've literally had parts of my body that have been healed, like my butt. I used to feel like my butt was some shameful, nasty part of my body that all it did was sit on toilet seats and expel waste. And through massage, I've been able to reconnect and love that part of my body. My butt is now a part of my body that is assimilated and part of a whole that I love. A lot of us have parts of our bodies that we just feel awkward about or we don't like. And it's easy to get depressed when there's parts of yourself you're carrying around all day that you don't like, even if you're doing it unconsciously. If you unconsciously think, oh, my butt's so nasty, or I hate my abs, or I hate my chest, or I hate my back, this makes it difficult to enjoy life. Imagine it's like a pain that you constantly are carrying. A massage can also help relieve a lot of physical pains. It can be much easier to talk yourself into being depressed, as I know, when your body hurts. Before I started getting regular massages, my body used to be very uncomfortable. I used to consistently have back pain, and I've got a post that's linked in the description where I talk about getting out of a 20-year journey in back pain. And I now consistently have no back pain on a daily basis. It's amazing. And this started when I got massages. Massages help release toxins in the body that are stored up. And when you just move various parts of the body around, the toxins will come out and be expelled. Massage helps just the physical connection of one human being to another, helps produce this euphoric state, which can get you out of depression. A massage also promotes the ability to be close and get that loving attention from another human being. I'm very close with my massage therapist now. We have very intimate discussions about all parts of our lives. We help each other a lot with our worst problems, and my massage therapist is my accountability partner now. I see her every week. I talk to her every week. And to be clear, in case you're thinking that massage has to involve or might involve something sexual, it generally does not. For me, it never has, because I've picked places where that are established, reputable, licensed massage therapy places. Now, yes, there are some places you can go to where they may try and sell you on that, or where that might go on. However, that's why it's important to have clear boundaries and discuss any of these things with your massage therapist beforehand. For example, I remember talking to one of the therapists saying that I was afraid that sexual things might go on and that they would just be essentially forced upon me, or I'd be tempted into them. And I had a great discussion about that with my massage therapist, and now I'm not afraid of that, because I realize most massage therapists are not looking to do that anyway. And the ones that are, I am confident I have the ability to say no, to say, look, no, thank you. Please avoid that part of my body if it were ever to come up. Thus, getting through some of these issues is critical for dispelling depression. It's a big learning and big growth opportunity. And when you're learning and growing, it promotes happiness, it promotes joy, it promotes excitement. Often depression is an indicator of a lack of growth, an unwillingness to change. And when you get through some of these tough issues in life, you're able to grow, you're able to change. And massage has been a huge way that's helped me do that. Number 8, drink only water. If you went through these other 7 suggestions and you're already kind of on board with them, these last 3 will help you clear out any problems. Drink only water. I drink 99% water. I occasionally, the other day when went out to lunch with my massage therapist, I had a lemonade, which was unusual. I only drink something besides water maybe once a month. Almost all that I drink is water. I used to drink tea. Tea can be good. I used to drink coffee and sodas. And what I can say is that drinking things with a lot of caffeine in them produces ups and downs. And if you don't want to be depressed, you don't want anything that produces a big up. Because if you produce a big up by drinking something like a huge cup of coffee that gives you a bunch of caffeine, that gives you some massive boost, then what you're looking for, what is going to happen to you, is you're going to have a crash. You're going to come flying down from that, and then you're likely to get depressed. If you really want to avoid depression, make sure you avoid drinking anything that will cause big movements in your mood. And this, to me, means alcohol. No alcohol at all. Alcohol is something that depresses you, and it conditions your body into being depressed. I suggest absolutely no alcohol if you want to avoid depression. I've never seen one person who struggles with depression and that drinking helps. Never once. What I see is that drinking can numb the pain sometimes, but the price you pay for that is more depression. And I know firsthand, the more I drank, the more I got depression. It's what's called in medication terms a rebound. For example, if you have headaches and you take pain pills to knock the headache down, what you often get is a rebound headache. The headache will come right back. If you drink alcohol, you will often get rebound depression. If you're a bit depressed and you have a glass of wine and you feel better, you will get rebound depression the next day. And guess what? Then you'll need another drink. Therefore, I suggest only drink water. Do not drink anything else. Water is what your body needs. Water leaves your body feeling great. Water will leave you feeling great every day. And then you get your nutrition through the food you eat, especially doing a whole plant-based diet. Drink only water, avoid things that hype you up, and you will avoid a lot of depression. And this leads us into another suggestion, personal training. If you're taking walks outside, that's good. Vigorous exercise also helps a lot with depression. Vigorous exercise gets your heart rate up. It stimulates a lot of your body, and it will also force you to confront mental blocks and barriers. For example, I took 3 years off of personal training just thinking that walking my dog was perfectly satisfactory. What I noticed in taking those years off of personal training is that my stamina went down a lot and that I was missing something in my life with exercise. When you do personal training, it gets you out there, gets you stimulated, and it'll push you through these mental barriers that lead to depression. For example, personal training gets a little uncomfortable sometimes, and a lot of us are programmed to avoid discomfort. Well, when you're depressed, often you've been putting a lot of work into avoiding discomfort, but you build this anger and resentment up to it. You build this silent fury that just turns into this depression and apathy, and personal training helps show you how to get through that. In addition, when you finish a good, vigorous workout with personal training, it gives you an accountability partner, and when I am done with my personal training, I feel great. I feel strong. I feel the euphoria that so many of us are looking for that's a direct opposite of depression. I feel really good about life, and I get that guaranteed benefit, and I consistently, if I have even a little bit of depression come on and I do personal training, it will go away completely in just an hour. And after all, with being free of depression, what you want is to get rid of it when it comes up. I'm not saying if you live your life perfectly and follow all 10 of these, that depression will never come up. What I am saying is that you will be able to clear depression really quickly when it starts. I often am able to clear a little depression right when it starts, within a few minutes, if not an hour or two. And personal training is a big help to this. It combines several of these together, and a great personal trainer will also help you in these other areas. A great personal trainer will help you with being an accountability partner and help you just have variety. A personal trainer will help you feel good and look good. A personal trainer can help you work through with your diet issues. And if you're struggling to have regular sex and you change your diet, you start doing personal training, you will bring out your maximum attractiveness, and then guess what? People will be wanting to have sex with you more than ever. Thus, personal training can be very helpful if you're struggling with these other areas. Now, let's go into the next and the final one here. And I've saved this for last because I realize this is the one that when I bring this up in person, people consistently get offended at. And to me, that shows it works and it makes a big difference. No pills. No training wheels. If you want to ride a bike, training wheels can help when you're really shaky and you're struggling to stay up and you're just learning how to ride a bike. Yes, sometimes medication may possibly help when you're just getting started, when you've been in a severe situation and you need some training wheels to stabilize yourself. In my opinion, with a master's degree in criminal justice and 8 years of experience on YouTube, in my opinion, if you want to be free from depression, no pills. Absolutely no pills. No mood stabilizers, no antidepressants, even I would say no or minimum supplements. No pills. Now Advil, and I'm saying on a daily, regular basis. I'm not saying that if something crazy happens and you need to, the pain medication can be helpful in a very traumatic event. However, the goal is to immediately get off of it and to get back to a no training wheels lifestyle. I have never met one person once who tells me they take medication that I would want their life. Never once. Everyone I see that's taking medication and consistently, especially for depression, is still on training wheels. And I want a life where I can ride the bike. And what does that mean? That means that you can get through things in life totally sober, without needing to go take your medicine, without needing to depend on something else to keep you stable. what I've noticed is that there's a big profit incentive to sell you on pills. Because think about all the people that make money from selling pills. The pharmaceutical companies and everyone they employ has a strong profit incentive to tell you to take pills. A therapist has a strong incentive to tell you to take pills both directly because it shows that they're doing something, and indirectly. To me, pills limit how far you can go. When you're taking antidepressants, to me, you cannot go all the way to get rid of depression, and therefore you're stuck and you need much more help than you would need otherwise. Imagine a 15-year-old kid still with huge training wheels riding their bike around. They're not going to be able to go as fast. They're not going to be able to do all the maneuvers on a bike that you can do without training wheels. Not going to be able to have as much fun with it. Pills are training wheels. Take your training wheels off as soon as you possibly can. Which to me ought to be within, if you've been taking anything longer than a few weeks in my opinion, that's enough training wheels. Take those off and start riding the bike. I learned how to ride a bike I didn't even get to use training wheels because by the time I started riding a bike, my butt was so heavy it bent the training wheels and I had to learn to ride my bike, and I learned to ride a bike very fast because I didn't get my training wheels. I simply would fall if I couldn't learn how to ride the bike and stay on the bike. And the beauty of that is I got to have a lot of fun riding my bike all over the place. And yes, I fell down sometimes, but it's fun. And if you want to be free of depression, you want to live life at its fullest. I read a quote from some Indian guru, spiritual master that says, things like alcohol and medication prevent you from reaching your maximum potential. And I absolutely have found that to be true. And things like alcohol and pills go hand in hand. When I drank, I also consistently would take things like Advil. Just, you might think, well, what if I take an Advil PM to go to sleep, or I take a little over-the-counter medication every day, or I have this blood pressure pill. If you do a whole plant-based diet, according to the research, a whole plant-based diet can single-handedly prevent the top 15 causes of death. A whole plant-based diet can help you maintain a healthy weight, healthy blood pressure, and almost every single other part of your body can be cured from almost every single illness with the 10 tips, the other 9 tips I've given you here. All 9 of these tips are also things that go with having a life of maximum potential. Personal training, water, massage, sex, hypnotherapy, accountability partner, walking outside, support group, whole plant-based diet. I could have put this list for almost anything else. Anxiety, fear, loneliness. This list fixes almost every single thing in life. And how do I know? Because it's what I do every day and it works for me. I see the question, Jerry, how do you have so much energy? How are you so motivated? These are the natural states. This is a natural state that I'm in, a natural state of a healthy human being. Many of us, we are so immersed in a culture of sickness that we don't even recognize directly a healthy, happy human being. Then these 10 things, healthy, happy human being. These are things that consistently, when I see people that I love their life and I want to emulate their life, not necessarily every single one of these. For example, I know some meat eaters that have a wonderful life, but they don't eat a ton of meat. They eat meat in moderation. I know some that don't have a overt support group, but they have a strong family, or who don't take walks outside every day, but they might go for a run. Almost everyone has an accountability partner. I know lots of people that don't go to hypnotherapy, but they practice meditation. I don't know anybody that doesn't have regular sex that has a life I would want. I know people that don't get massages that have lots of other ways to relax. I know people that will drink a little bit of tea or a little bit of coffee, or who don't do personal training but have a good, healthy gym workout. I don't know anybody that takes regular medication that has a very nice, peaceful, happy, healthy life. Because regular medication, that's not to say if there's a trauma or an injury or a sickness, you don't take some antibiotics and get over it. But I'm saying on a regular daily basis throughout most of the year, and even when you're in a bad place with depression, things like accidents will even be attracted to you. Thus, I stick by this suggestion very strongly. It makes a big difference for me. And I see some of the sickest people I know take the most medication. Now, you might think they take medication because they're sick. From what I've seen, a little bit of sickness led to taking consistent medication, and the more medication they took, the sicker they continued to become, and now they can't even get off medication without professional help, which ironically tends to require more medication. Thus, I've given you, these are 10 concrete things you can do to break the cycle of depression. The weird thing I've noticed with a lot of people is there seems to be this weird desire to not do the things to break depression. I noticed it in myself. But I'm imagining, since you have made it here all the way to the end, you are one of the people who really, really does want to live a life completely free of depression at the very highest life possible. And I'm talking to you specifically right now because you've got through all this. All you need to do are do these 10 things and maybe adapt them slightly for your lifestyle. Do these 10 things and I'm certain you will be free of 99% of your depression. I don't care how bad it is or how special you think you are. You will do these things and it will work. I've given you the entire recipe right here. The whole recipe. It's like baking a cake. If you follow the instructions, you stick it in the oven at the temperature it says, you leave it in the oven, and you take the cake out, you will have a baked cake that looks beautiful and tastes delicious. You follow all 10 of these, you will be free of depression. I've just emphasized this because belief is a critical component. You must believe that simply doing these things indicates your commitment to being free of depression. And I'm talking about being free of depression the rest of your life. I never want you to be depressed again for more than a little while. Now, I understand there can be things that come along that are difficult in life. Losing a partner, losing a child, losing a parent, losing a friend. Still, these things I've given you are so powerful that if the worst happens, you will be amazed at how little depression you have going through it. One of the key things is to stop expecting to be depressed. And when you do all 10 of these things, you will no longer expect that you should be depressed. In fact, you will believe that you should be free of depression. And that's essential for success. Thank you very much for getting all the way through this podcast about depression with me. I trust you'll watch and listen to more of the Jerry Banfield Show, wherever you love listening to podcasts, if you want some more amazing help like this. And I trust if you want to watch the podcast as a video on YouTube, you'll hit that subscribe button. That seems to be the preferred way to watch. Make sure you turn those notifications on to give you the best chance to actually see new videos and take a look in that subscriber feed. You can also follow on Facebook if you want to make sure you see new posts and get notifications on Facebook. I do live streams and Facebook is a great place to watch those. I love you. You're awesome. Thank you for giving me a chance to serve you today, because I forgot one tip I'd put on here if I said it was 11. Once you're doing all 10 of these things, you have a responsibility to go out and help other people. And that's why I'm doing this today. I could just go through my day. Look how not depressed I am. I have a commitment to go help others. And doing these 10 things gets you in shape to lead by example. And the best way to help others is to lead by example. I can tell you how I got through depression and list these things for you because I've done it and because I keep doing it every day, and because even I get surprised if I have depression that lasts more than a few minutes today. And I just hammer these 10 things and go out and help other people and it goes away almost instantly. That's available for you today when you follow all of this. I love you. You're awesome. Thank you for giving me the chance to serve you, and I imagine I'll be seeing you again real soon.